nicht dieser Töne. Sondern lass uns angenehmer anstimmen und freuden voller.
Chapter 15, Ode to Joy. Silverdear, rye bread called out behind the counter. Yes, Mrs. Bray, Silver answered, turning her head back. Her mane and coat were slightly disheveled from a long day of work. Her apron was covered in food stains, and she was sure she smelled like burnt bread. I know it is close to closing up shop, but there are two more ponies sitting outside, waiting to be served. Can you be a dear and see what they would like? Rye asked as she carried a crate of dishes. Silver turned her head and looked at the clock, which read 4:55 p.m., 5 more minutes until closing time. She looked back at Rye Bread. Of course I will, Mrs. Bread, she replied with a pleasant smile. She got up and grabbed her notepad in her teeth and made her way to the door. As soon as she turned her head, her smile turned into a scowl and her ear flicked in annoyance. Oh, you have got to be kidding me, Silver thought. 5 minutes until I'm off and 2 more freaking customers come. I want to leave and go to Mortar, but no, 2 more annoying ponies need something now. Grumbling under her breath, she lifted her head, wearing a large, pleasant smile. Lifting a hoof, she opened the door and walked outside. Squinting her eyes against the sunlight, she scanned outside, trying to find the 2 customers. Her eyes locked onto 2 figures sitting in the corner. Her jaw dropped, and the notepad fell to the ground. Seated in the corner were 2 mares. One was a white Pegasus with a pink mane and magenta eyes. The other was a light blue unicorn with a darker blue mane, glasses, and teal eyes. The glaring thing about the 2 was how tall, delicate, and elegant they looked compared to the average pony. Both turned their heads toward Silver, and each one gave a welcoming smile. Silver's eye and ear twitched ever so slightly. She turned her head around, her eyes scanning the area to verify that no pony was around. After a moment, she quickly trotted towards the table. Upon reaching it, she placed her forehooves on top of it, bringing her face close to the other 2 mares, glaring at them. "What are you 2 doing here?" Silver said in an annoyed tone, frowning slightly. The slightly taller, white Pegasus turned her head to the pony beside her. "Sister, she's all right through our disguises. I told you that this was not enough," she sighed loudly. "What?" the blue unicorn exclaimed as she jumped in her seat, the glasses lowering slightly on her muzzle. "These disguises are perfect. We made them ourselves. You are the one that suggested we make them." "Yes, I did, but I also said that these forms are too tall and slender. We stand out from other ponies," the white mare said as she rubbed her temple with a hoof. "Nonsense," the unicorn huffed, puffing out her chest. "There is no need for us to hide our natural beauty. You said yourself that others try to mimic our image. I take pride in the way I look." "But the point I am trying to make is that Silver saw right through it. We stick out like a sore hoof. I told you we should have toned it down a bit." "Our magic is not flawed, sister. I have done more than enough, and then some. I am even wearing these glasses for added effect," the unicorn countered as she levitated her glasses off her muzzle. "Besides, I wanted to do more, but you stopped me." "You wanted to wear a mustache," the Pegasus replied as she slapped her on the face with a hoof. So, you told me that I should become acclimated to modern culture, and I did. Every time I watch a movie, the characters always use a mustache for a disguise. It always worked in the movie, the unicorn exclaimed, as she lowered the glasses back on her muzzle. The white Pegasus sighed loudly. Sister, I told you they were doing that as a joke. It was done for comedic effect. It does not really work. It worked in the movie, the unicorn replied back as she stomped her hoof on the ground. Just because something happens in a movie does not mean it is real. There is a difference between reality and what is portrayed in movies, the Pegasus answered, again rubbing her temple with a hoof and closing her eyes. Then why did they put it in the movie if it does not work? The unicorn huffed back as she stomped her hoof again. Silver watched dumbfounded. Her jaw was hanging and her eyes wide as she watched the two mares bicker in front of her. Quickly shaking her head out of her daze, she cleared her throat loudly. Sorry to interrupt your fascinating discussion, but can you two explain why in Equestria you two are here when I am at work? Silver said in an annoyed tone, while raising an eyebrow. Both mares turned to look at her, blushing slightly. Sorry about that. We tend to get a little distracted when we go at it a little bit, the Pegasus replied. Silver scrunched her eyebrows slightly. I can see that. How did you see through our disguises so easily? The blue unicorn asked as she straightened her glasses. Silver gave a loud sigh. Your eyes were a dead giveaway. I remember those eyes. That and you do stick out a lot. Your form is very distinctive. I told you, sister, Celestia said. Humph, huffed Luna. Silver rubbed her temple for a second, and then she turned around and started to walk towards the bakery again. I will be right back. I'm getting some coffee. Oh, no, please. We know it is late, and we do not want to give you extra work, Celestia called with a gentle smile. Silver stopped, turning her head. It's not for you. I am going to need a cup. Celestia, Luna, and Silver Skip sat around a small circular table, each with their own cup of coffee. Silver looked down at her cup and eyed the pitch-black coffee inside. Picking it up, she gave it a slight sniff before she took a large sip. She felt the warm and bitter liquid stream down her throat. Placing the cup back down, she gave out a large sigh. So, what brings the princesses of Equestria to this little establishment here? Silver asked as she looked at the two mares in front of her. Celestia's horn glowed slightly as she poured a small amount of cream and sugar into her cup. Once done, she picked up a stirrer and began to mix her drink. We heard Mortar Brick woke up. My sister and I were thrilled when we heard the news. We wanted to see how you were doing and make sure everything is all right. Silver looked down slightly, a small smile forming on her face. You know, everything is good. Mortar is expected to make a full recovery soon after some physical therapy. 'Tis wondrous news indeed, Luna replied as she picked up a sugar packet with her magic. She poured the contents into a cup and discarded the used packet to a small mountain of empty sugar packets. Silver is the name you want to be addressed by, correct? Yes, it is. I see. Before we start, I must ask you a question, Luna said as she looked at Silver. Do you still resent my sister and I for our actions against you? Celestia's eyes widened, her wings lightly fluttering. Sister, is that an appropriate question? Luna turned her head toward Celestia, a serious look on her face. Sister, both you and I are wondering the same thing right now. Besides, it is better to get the truth out in the open now. If she does still resent us, then it would be awkward for her if we stay here. Luna turned her head back towards Silver, her face impassive. Silver, it would be best if you were honest with us. There will be no repercussions if you express your feelings. If you do still resent us, my sister and I will leave you alone from now on. Silver sat there as she stared into her cup, watching the slight ripples in it. After a while, she let out a loud sigh and looked up to the two princesses. "You know," she said in a soft tone, "after the trial, all I could think about was revenge on both of you. I was so furious at you two for what you had done. But a funny thing happened along the way, and I'm pretty sure Celestia planned on it. After I met Morta, I slowly became adjusted to this new environment. Slowly but surely, I started to enjoy life. However, I could not admit that to myself. That's when Morta got injured. I was so confused and hurt, I did not know what to do. That's when she came. If it were not for Celestia destroying her, I would have lost everything that I cared about. She may have tried to steal everything from me, but she made me realize that this life is good. When I look back on it all, I am surprised at how much has changed. But what surprises me the most is how little I care about what happened, about my past life. I am enjoying my life now. So, to answer your question, no, I do not resent you two." Celestia and Luna smiled gently in response. Silver lifted her cup and took a sip of her coffee. Exhaling, she put it back down and smiled back. "It is shocking how much easier life is when I'm not holding a grudge. It is as if... She trailed off. Luna spoke up. "As if through your intense desire for vengeance, you had waged a great war, in which you had to don a suit of armor so that you would not be injured. At first, when the flames of war burned passionately inside you, you were thankful for it. You were untouchable, a goddess striking down mortals. However, when the years dragged on and there seemed to be no end to the long, excruciating conflict, which only escalated as your desire to vanquish your foe became more and more desperate, the armor became increasingly heavier, and it began to cut into your skin. That which had once protected you from your opponent now hindered you, which only made you want more to defeat your nemesis for making you suffer the agony of the war. Before long, you realized that trying to bear the armor was even worse than bearing the war's horrors. Exhausted and demoralized beyond possibility of rest or recovery, you could barely flail in battle, and you realized that you were hurting yourself more than your adversary. You might have won a battle here or there, but with each passing engagement, the increasing weight of the armor threatened to crush you. And then finally you began to ask yourself, even if I win this war, what will I gain? I may destroy my enemy, but I will fall in the act. Yet, in the silent darkness of your despair, you realized that there was a perfect solution that had been staring you in the face all along. The enemy against whom you were so desperately fighting did not wear that suit of armor. Rather, she had surrounded herself with allies who defended her, and she in turn defended them. But most evidently they did not harm her like your armor harmed you. At the moment this epiphany struck you, you asked yourself, if I took off this armor and approached her with a white flag, would she strike me? This question in itself is unnecessary, however, because you knew that it would be better to fall than to suffer another wound in this now ancient conflict. As soon as you undid the clasps of your breastplate and unlaced the straps of your shoes, and they fell onto the ground with an earth-shaking thud, you felt the most serene relief. Having left behind your armor, you approached her camp with a white flag without any fear, because you no longer had anything to lose. Yet, contrary to your expectations, before you even passed over the lines of battle, your arch-enemy came galloping out to meet you with her neck arched upward, offering a friendly nuzzle. Then, when you accepted her welcoming embrace, she eagerly led you into her kingdom, where your prosperity now lasts for the rest of your life. And any time any problem or any other enemy threatens you, you do not fear, because you have an ally that will not betray you. Yeah, Silver said, wide-eyed. How did you know? Luna chuckled lightly. You and I are more alike than you think. We both have past actions that we wish to forget. Silver looked down, smiling. So, Silver, can I say that we are friends from now on? Luna asked as she raised her hoof and held it over the table. She looked over to Celestia, smiling. Celestia grinned back and mimicked her sister's actions, holding a hoof next to her sister. Friends? Silver stared at the two hooves in front of her. In an instant, she began to recall everything that had happened recently. Her failed invasion, her punishment, and finally, Mortar. A smile began to form on her face. Lifting her hoof, she shook the two hooves in front of her. Yes. Friends indeed. Oh, how wonderful! Luna exclaimed loudly. Quickly she moved across the table and picked up Silver, embracing her in a large hug. Silver's eyes widened, a slight blush forming across her face from the sudden contact. Oh, sorry about that, Luna said bashfully, gently placing Silver back down and moving back to her seat. I tend to get a little excited when I make friends. I can see, Silver replied as she fixed her mane. Celestia only smiled as she gently lifted her cup and took a sip, her sister following suit after Luna put another sugar packet in her beverage. So, Celestia said after she placed her cup down, how are you doing? I'm doing well. When I saw Mortar moving, I was so happy. I did not know if it was real or not. Now that he is awake, I just can't imagine life without him. Silver struggled to get the words out as tears formed in her eyes. She wiped her eyes with a hoof. I do hate you for this. Ever since you saved me, I can't stop doing this. Once I start crying, I just can't control myself. Silver continued as more tears flowed down her face. She sniffed loudly in an attempt to hide the tears. The more she tried to hide them, the more they continued to flow. She gasped slightly as she felt something brush against her back. She looked up and saw Celestia standing above her, wrapping a wing around her. There, there, it is all right. There is no shame in expressing your feelings. Really, it feels quite nice to let it all out. To get it out of your system, Celestia replied as she pulled Silver closer with a wing. There is no weakness in expressing yourself. Silver looked up, drying her eyes with a hoof. You are right, Celestia. I hate to admit it, but you are right. Your way is better. I can't imagine a life without Mortar. Celestia and Luna, in return, only offered a warm and gentle smile. Is this how you defeat your enemies? Silver continued. With doe eyes and hugs? Luna chuckled. At first, I disagreed with my sister, but I can see why she does it the way she does. It does work. 'Tis much better, and less messy anyways. Why worry about enemies when you can have friends instead? Silver grinned slightly, calming herself down. Minutes passed as a gentle breeze filled the air. Finally, Celestia and Luna stood up. Well, Silver, we seem to have taken too much of your time. We know you want to go and visit Mortar, so my sister and I will take our leave. If you need anything, do not hesitate to ask. We would be more than happy to help. Silver watched as they stood up. As they turned around, Silver found herself shaking slightly. Gulping, she quickly stood up. Wait, Silva cried out as she raised a hoof. The two sisters stopped and turned their heads, their eyes widening slightly in surprise at the sudden outburst. There is something that I want you two to do, actually, Silva said, staring at the ground. Both sisters glanced at each other, surprised. Turning around, they gently sat down next to Silva. Yes, what is it? Luna asked. Silva continued to look down at her hooves. Giving a loud sigh, she looked back up at the two sisters. Ever since Morta woke up, something has been gnawing at me. I want to move on with my life, Silva said quietly. What is wrong, dear? Celestia asked. I want to tell Morta who I really am. I know if I don't, it will just continue to eat at me. He deserves to know, too, after what I put him through. I understand your desire, Luna commented, but I am confused on what that has to do with us. Your subjects practically worship you two. I'm afraid that if I tell him by myself, he will not believe me. But if you two are here, then he will have to listen to you two, Silva replied, shivering slightly. Celestia smiled, again wrapping a wing around Silva. If that is what you wish, then my sister and I will be there. Morta looked at the half-eaten food before him, idly poking it with a fork. He let out a loud sigh. I am so bored. Where is Silva? It is not like her to be late. I wonder what is keeping her. Letting out another sigh, he dropped his fork and stretched his forelegs slightly. Although his body was still sore, he was getting better every day. He grunted as he moved his hind legs slightly. His doctor had said that the physical therapy would start very soon. At least I can feel them. The door clicked. Morta jumped a little as he turned his head to see Silva Skip walk in. Silva! Morta cried out. Grunting, he tried to sit up using his forehooves. No, Morta, stop it! Silva called out as she rushed to his side. She gently helped him back down. Please, just take it easy. It is all right.
If you say so, Morta replied as he lay back down, panting a little bit. So, Morta continued as he turned his head towards Silva. What is up? It is not like you to be late.
Silva turned her head away slightly, scrunching up her face.
Hey, what is wrong? Morta asked as he reached out with a hoof.
Letting out a loud sigh, Silva turned her head and faced Morta. Her emerald eyes stared directly into his brown eyes. Morta, Silva said as she gently held his head in her forehooves. I love you. I truly do. I love you with all my heart and soul.
Morta's eyes widened, a blush growing on his face. Silva, I love you too, Morta said softly. However, he was interrupted as Silva put her hoof gently over his mouth.
Morta, I truly want to be with you for the rest of my life. You were the first being that I grew close to. Morta, I need to tell you something, and I am very afraid right now,
Silva continued, tears slowly forming in the corner of her eyes. Silva, what's wrong? What is going on? Morta asked nervously.
Silva turned her head, looking at the door. You two can come in now, she called out.
The door suddenly opened as two mares walked in. One was a dark blue unicorn, and the other a white Pegasus. Both were tall and elegant. The unicorn's horn glowed as the door gently closed.
Silva, who are these ponies? Morta asked, his eyes darting back and forth between the two mares.
Go ahead, Silva continued. Show him.
Both mares nodded, and again the blue unicorn's horn glowed. Her aura surrounded both herself and the mare next to her. Suddenly, there was a flash of light, and Morta squinted.
After the light faded, he gasped as Princess Celestia and Luna stood before him. Neither of them wore any of their regalia, yet they were still as elegant as ever.
"Hello, my little pony," Celestia said in a soft voice.
"Your Majesties," Morta shouted as he struggled to get up.
"At ease, Mortabrick,"
Luna called out as she raised a hoof.
"There is no need for such formalities. Also, you are injured, so please rest."
"Silver, what are they doing here?"
Morta whispered into Silver's ear.
"Morta, they are here because of me," Silver replied, looking into his eyes.
Morta's eyes widened.
"Wait," he cried out. "This has to do with Silver hitting Prince Blueblood, isn't it? Look, it was not her fault. He was being disrespectful and..."
"Easy, easy," Celestia said as she raised her hoof. "Silver is not in any sort of trouble. Actually, she wants to tell you something."
"Silver, what is going on?"
Morta asked, confused. His eyes darted from Silver to the princesses.
"Morta," Silver said in a soft voice, "I brought them here because if you do not believe me, then at least you can believe them. Morta, I truly care for you, and I swear that I never meant to hurt you."
"Silver."
"Morta,"
Silver interrupted,
"there is no easy way to say this, so I am going to be blunt. Morta, I am Chrysalis, former queen of the changelings. I have always been Chrysalis. When you first met Silver Skip, that was me."
Morta's eyes widened. His breathing became erratic as his heart began to pound faster.
"What?"
"Morta, please don't hate me. I really do love you," Silver cried out, tears flowing from her eyes. "I want to be with you. I don't care about power or anything else. I care about you. I want to be with you."
"How?"
Morta gasped as he looked straight into Silver's teary emerald eyes.
"How is all this possible?"
"I think my sister and I can explain all of this,"
Celestia answered softly as she stood next to Silver. Luna followed suit, standing on the opposite side.
"I assure you, my little pony, there is nothing to worry about,"
Celestia said with a calm and gentle face. Morta leaned up slightly on his bed, his eyes wide.
"Wow, just wow.
So you really are Chrysalis?"
Silver looked away, turning her head back towards Morta.
"I was, but I am not anymore. I am done with that."
"And you made her a pony?"
Morta asked, as he looked at Princess Celestia and Luna.
"Yes and no, my little pony,"
Celestia replied as she stood next to Morta.
"It is complicated somewhat, but the first changeling was a pony who used dark magic to gain power. She passed on that dark magic to her descendants. All my sister and I did was remove the magic, restoring her back to her original form."
This is a lot to take in," Morta said quietly. "And there is no bad blood between you?"
"No, Morta," Silver replied, turning her head slightly to look at him. "There is none. I don't want to fight any more. I just want a life with you. If it makes you feel better, we consider each other friends."
"Indeed we do,"
Luna replied, as she stood next to her sister.
"Morta, it is not our place to tell you what to do. But ponies can change. I, too, have made grave mistakes in the past, but that does not mean I cannot move forward. My sister and I have forgiven each other and moved on. Do you trust me as one of your princesses, even though back in my younger days I tried to bring eternal night?"
I do, Your Highness,"
Morta answered as he looked at Luna.
"I was scared at first, but as time went on, I trusted you, just like the rest of Equestria does."
Luna smiled at his comment.
Redemption is possible, my loyal subject.
Morta turned his head back towards Silver. So you really had to choose between power and me?
Silver let out a loud sniff. She instantly turned towards Morta, her eyes filled with tears.
Morta, I am so sorry, she said between sobs. She moved closer to the bed, choking up. I never wanted to hurt you, let alone do such a horrible thing. Morta, I swear to you that I never wanted to kill you, not even for all the power in the world. I wanted to be with you. You made me happy. I am sorry I didn't realize it sooner. I was confused when we first met. I thought it was weakness to have a relationship, to open oneself to another being. But I was so wrong.
Silver continued to cry, more tears flowing down her face.
Morta, I am sorry. Can you forgive me?
Morta stared at her, his eyes widening. This is the Queen of the Changelings? The enemy of Canterlot? I mean, the princess has told me she is Silver Skip. But could this really be Chrysalis? Could this really be Silver Skip? Silver rarely ever showed her emotions, except anger.
He continued to look at Silver, who was beginning to hyperventilate. Does it matter if she is Chrysalis? The time I spent with her was real. It meant something. Does it change anything knowing who she really is? I mean, she is still a pony, after all. She still makes me happy. But why am I not freaking out? I knew she was different from normal ponies. She looks different, but that is because she is skinnier than most. But I felt something was different. Was that why I was attracted to her? Because she was different? Are the painkillers the reason I'm not panicking? Well, I'm glad that I am handling it okay. Still, she is really upset at this. Is she that scared of losing me? I never thought some pony could care so much about me. It does not matter who she is. I love her, and she loves me. What is life without risk?
Silver, Morta said softly. Silver continued to cry, breathing hard between sobs, and her body was shaking.
I am sorry, she said, over and over again.
Silver, he repeated more loudly. Silver continued to cry, unaware. Morta sighed loudly.
Wow, she is hysterical. I better do something.
Adjusting his position on the bed, Morta leaned over and gently grabbed Silver's head in his hooves. She looked at him, her emerald eyes red from crying. Quickly, he stuck out his tongue and licked her face. Silver's eyes widened as her crying stopped. She stared at Morta, unable to react.
It is all right, Silver, Morta said as he stroked her mane. I forgive you. Even knowing your past, I still love and trust you. So please, stop crying.
Really? Silver asked as she calmed down.
You still love me, even after what I've done?
Yes, he replied, embracing her in a deep hug. It is all right. I love you with all my heart and soul. So calm down. I don't like seeing you all worked up like this. It is not like you. Not at all like my Silver.
Silver let out a sniff, hugging back. Thank you, Morta. Thank you.
Luna wiped an eye with her wingtip.
Isn't it so romantic, sister? True love knows no bounds.
Celestia smiled, looking down at her sister.
Indeed it is.
Silver closed her eyes and smiled, enjoying Morta's comfort and warmth. It was as if a huge burden had been lifted from her back. No longer did she have to worry about her past. Suddenly, her eyes shot open. Quickly, she pushed Morta back slightly and stared at him.
Did you just lick me?
She asked in an annoyed tone. Morta gasped slightly from the sudden movement, looking at Silver. Well, yes. Yes, I did. I thought it would get your attention. You were panicking, so I thought it would help relieve the tension.
Silver's eyes widened. She brushed her face with her forehooves.
That is disgusting, Morta. You used your tongue, she shrieked.
Morta grinned. Well, well, well. You were not complaining about my tongue when we first kissed, he replied in a sly tone as he waggled his eyebrows.
Silver's jaw dropped, a blush growing on her face.
Her eyes darted towards Celestia and Luna, each of whom covered her mouth with a hoof to hide a giggle.
How could you say that in front of them?
She yelled at him, her face reddening even more.
Well, if that's a problem, we can show them instead, he replied with a smirk.
Silver's blush only grew, her eyes darting back and forth between the princesses and Morta.
Wow, she's cute when she's flustered, Morta thought. I should remember this.
Silver quickly moved her head forward and bit Morta's nose.
Ow! Morta yelled as he grabbed his nose. I am injured, you know.
I'll injure you even more. How dare you embarrass me like that? She yelled back.
Come on, I'm just messing with you, he replied meekly.
You will not mess with me, Silver huffed as she stomped her hoof.
Celestia leaned towards Luna. I think it is time that we leave them, she whispered into her sister's ear.
I know, Luna whispered back, but I can't move my eyes away. It is just so entertaining and cute to watch them. Is this why they call it a lover's quarrel?
Indeed it is, sister, Celestia replied, not taking her eyes off Morta and Silver.
After a moment, she cleared her throat.
Well,
she said. Morta and Silver stopped and stared at Celestia.
My sister and I are happy for you, the princess continued. However, I think it is time for us to take our leave. We wish you a speedy recovery, Morta.
And the best of luck to both of you, Luna added.
At that time, both Celestia and Luna's horns glowed. Oh, and I almost forgot, Luna said. Do tell us if you are expecting foals. My sister and I love foals. Ta-ta, young lovers. May your love blossom forth.
With a flash of light, Celestia and Luna vanished. Morta and Silver stared at the spot where the two princesses had just stood, and then they stared at each other. Both of them started to blush profoundly.